May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Those simple words, one of the earliest Christian prayers known to us, are very apt for today, Advent Sunday, the beginning of the season of Advent. The word Advent means coming, and during this season we look with hope to the coming of Christ into our world. We look to his first coming as the little child in Bethlehem, and to his second coming as glorious Lord of all. We began our service this morning with the wonderful Advent hymn, O come, Emmanuel. This is an ancient hymn that takes us back to the Old Testament before the coming of Christ, to the centuries of waiting for the Messiah as the people of Israel longed for the coming of the one who would fulfill God's promises by rescuing them from all their troubles and bringing them into a glorious age of peace and joy. Some of those words we sang, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. O come, thou key of David, come and open wide our heavenly home. Make safe the way that leads on high and close the path to misery. And when we sing these words, we are BC, we are before Christ, imaginatively. We imagine ourselves as Israel waiting for the Messiah, looking ahead to the coming of Christ. At the end of our service, we'll sing the song, I Cannot Tell. And in contrast, as we sing this song, we stand in a different place, firmly in the perspective of the New Testament, as we give thanks for Christ's birth and his death on the cross. But this song also looks ahead to the coming of Jesus Christ in glory at the end of history, when all will see his glory and heaven and earth will rejoice together. We will sing, but this I know, all flesh shall see his glory, and he shall reap the harvest he has sown. And some glad day his sun shall shine in splendor when he, the Savior of the world, is known. But this I know, the skies will thrill with rapture, and myriad human voices sing, and earth to heaven, and heaven to earth will answer. At last the Savior of the world is King. Two hymns. One BC, one AD, one before Christ, one after the coming of Christ. We live in the in-between times, in between the two comings of Christ. We recognize that Israel's longed-for Messiah, foretold in the Old Testament, has come in Jesus. But we also recognize that the story of Christ is still incomplete, not yet fully worked out. Christ has come and begun his reign, but his kingdom has not yet fully come, so we long for more, for the redemption, the transformation of this beautiful but broken world and everything in it, including our beautiful but broken selves. First, let's go back to the longing found in the Old Testament. In our reading from Isaiah this morning, we heard an urgent plea for deliverance, that God would be present with his people, deliver them from their enemies, and save them from their sins. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. The people yearn for God to reveal himself as their God, that he will come and act and make manifest his power and might to all the nations. At the same time, they are only too aware of their own failures and sins. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. God seems to have hidden his face from them, yet their hope is still in God. Yes, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Their hope is not in themselves, but in God. They trust in God, the God who works for those who wait for him. In other parts of the Old Testament, this hope is expressed in terms of the coming king, the chosen one who will bring in God's kingdom of justice and peace, restore what is broken, and make all things right. And last Sunday was the festival of Christ the King. We focused on Christ as the King who comes in humility and exercises God's authority through the power of love and self-sacrifice, because the heavens have been torn open and God has come down in Christ here among us as a human being, one of us. So we are drawn into the fellowship of the church as we worship Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. As Paul reminds the Corinthians in our second reading today, we too have received the grace of God in Jesus Christ. We give thanks week by week that God has acted in Christ through his life, death, and resurrection, and in him we are forgiven and drawn into a new relationship with God and with one another. But while we give thanks that God has come among us in Jesus, we also acknowledge that we have not yet fully received all that we long for. The story is not yet over, and our hopes are not yet fulfilled. While we know God has come among us in a way that the Old Testament prophets didn't, yet we still share with them the yearning for the day when all things will finally be put right, and all nations and all peoples will live in justice and peace. God's purposes will not be completed, and neither we nor our world will be fully transformed until the coming of Christ in glory. In the meantime, just as Isaiah spoke of the God who works for those who wait for him, so Paul reminds us that, like the Corinthians, we are waiting for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. At his second coming, Christ will be revealed for who he truly is. On earth, his kingly glory was hidden and only seen by those with eyes to see. But on that day, his glory will fully and plainly be seen by all. The revelation of Christ then will herald the true revealing of all things. As Paul says later to the Corinthians, when the Lord comes, he will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. That day will be a day of light and justice, but also a day of judgment. And which of us doesn't tremble at the prospect of all the deepest secrets of our hearts and lives, all that we've hidden away from ourselves and others, all that we've sought to hide away from God, being brought into the open for all to see? On that day, the full and final truth of each person's life will be made known, and we will not be able to justify ourselves. For as Isaiah says, all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth in God's sight. Yet, as Paul promised the Corinthians, God will strengthen us to the end so that we may be blameless on the day of the Lord Jesus. We will be blameless not because we can make ourselves perfect, but because of God's grace. Like the people in Isaiah's day, our hope is in God, God's grace, not ourselves. God is faithful, and only he can cleanse and declare us blameless in his sight. It is Christ, full of grace and truth, who is our judge. In Christ, our filthy rags will be made clean. And in the words of the first letter of John, when we see him as he is, we will be like him. That is our hope for ourselves. But our Advent hope is not just for ourselves, but for the whole world. Indeed, for justice, peace, and restoration for the whole created order. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves of that bigger picture. The Bible tells the big story, beginning with God's creation of all that there is, and ending with the new creation, where everything is restored and made perfect. The story of Christ is key, is central to understanding this big story. It is through Christ that all things were made. It is in Christ that God comes into his creation as one of us. It is through Christ that our brokenness and failure is healed and forgiven. It is through Christ that the hope of a new creation is fulfilled. We live in the midst of this story. It isn't finished yet. Our faith is a faith oriented to the future. We know the grace of God in Christ now, but we are also all too aware of the pain and anguish of the world, the brokenness, the violence, the suffering and evil which is evident all around us and also within our own hearts. We wait, we long for the final fulfillment of our hopes for ourselves and for the whole of reality. Indeed, it is not only we who hope, but in the words of St. Paul, the whole creation waits with eager longing in hope that it will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. So the creation waits. Isaiah spoke of the God who works for those who wait for him. Paul reminds the Corinthians that they wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Part of the Advent hope is waiting on God. This does not mean we sit around doing nothing. We are called to use all the gifts, opportunities, and time which God has given us to cooperate with the work of God's Spirit in our world, to witness to Christ our King, and to live in truth and love as servants of his kingdom. But the Advent hope is a salutary reminder that the future of our world, the future of our planet, does not begin and end with human beings. Thank God. The idea that human beings are getting better and better, and that as history progresses, one day we'll be able to establish our own perfect utopia, is an illusion. The Advent hope is firmly fixed on the God who acts to create, redeem, and renew his whole creation. When our hope is fixed on God, we are free to work and serve and give with fresh energy and purpose, knowing that the future is shaped by Christ himself. Meanwhile, we are to keep awake, as Jesus tells his disciples in our gospel reading. We may not know what exactly is coming, but we do know who is coming. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.